American at a time.
These people are my mom and dad, the people I grew up with, my neighbors. They pay more effective tax than Governor Romney pays in his federal income tax. They are elderly people who, in fact, are living off of Social Security. They are veterans and people fighting in Afghanistan right now who are, quote, not paying any taxes.
All right, if you went to the Huffington Post, they would tell you that Biden destroyed Ryan over the stimulus. In fact, the clever high sign or headline was Biden. If you went to Fox News, the headline that you would read would be Biden and Ryan come ready to rumble. And they talk about a fight at the debate and scrapping over everything from the economy to Libya to taxes. I would say they were very scrappy. Heading into this, I was talking about it like a boxing match, and it did come off like a boxing match. That's where we begin. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, Coast to Coast, and all those fabulous nooks and crannies in between. If you want to throw in your two cents, impressions on the debate, is there a clear winner in this one, do you think, that Paul Ryan was Biden'd? Most polls have Ryan winning by a small margin. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283, if you want to ring in. Of course, you can chat us up, too, as well. If you go to americatonight.net, you'll see me in the window, actually probably waving to you right now. Or americatonight.net, click on Contact, and bada bing, you are in just like that. All right, speaking of being in, it was very much the kind of debate you think that you would get from people who are skilled politicians, because you got to remember, Ryan might be in his early 40s, but he was in this game in his 20s. And Joe Biden has been around forever and a day, almost 70 years old, and he's held a seat in Congress time after time after time after decade after decade. I'm not surprised that they both know how to do this, that they both know how to debate. What was interesting is, by my count, Biden interrupted Ryan over 80 times. 80 times. Whatever they were talking about, it didn't matter. He would shake his head, kind of get the big Cheshire Cat grin, as to say, oh, that's a bunch of nonsense, and would start talking over whatever Ryan was saying, which I thought was kind of annoying. I get it that he might do that a few times, but to me it was a little bit over the top and kind of skewed what they were saying in the debate. Now, the focus for Biden was to jump all over the whole thing with the stimulus and to talk about, as you heard at the top there, the 47%, trying to define the middle class, who's going to get hit the hardest by the tax plans. And Ryan was grilled by Martha Raddatz, and Biden kicked him on this, too, about specifics of the tax plan. You know, they pressed him for more details as to what was this tax plan going to be. You know, when you talk about cutting all federal income tax rates 20% without increasing the budget deficit or increasing the tax burden on the people that fall into the middle class, how does that math work? And the reason is because the Tax Policy Center has said it doesn't work. There's no way it works. So Raddatz, who was the moderator, was all over that, saying that you refuse to offer specifics on how to pay for that 20% across-the-board tax cut. Do you actually have the specifics, or are you still working on it, and that's why you won't tell voters? And this is going to be part of the rallying cry the rest of the way through, because we have less than a month to go. In fact, we have 26 days until Election Day already. People have voted early. You might be one of those people that have already voted. Maybe you did the absentee ballot thing. They're probably going to have a lot that come in, I think, that way. To me, Ryan wins this debate narrowly. It wasn't a complete knockout, and maybe that was because of all the, I don't know, because of all the surging back and forth. But he definitely held his own, not a surprise. Like I said, they're both seasoned politicians. And in some cases, other than the details, he did the detail question that I just described, the tax plan deal, it threw him off his game a little bit because he didn't have an answer. He didn't have an answer for the 20%, except for that the plan would deny loopholes and deductions for millionaires and that the administration would work with Congress to do it. And he said six studies have verified that it adds up. Six studies have verified that. So that was, I guess, the meat of the answer to the question that everybody wanted to know, that on the campaign, when they're out on the campaign trail hitting all these different places and they talk about this 20%, what does that mean is the key thing. And also Medicare, the whole health care situation, all of that was a big push during the entire hour and a half. It seemed like it was on forever. She was trying to wrap it up, and it was like barely wrappable. I thought Joe Biden was just going to go on and on. They were never going to get it done. I didn't think it was going to happen. Oh, we're going to be here for breakfast. I don't know if I'm going to make the air. I got to watch this debate. I'm not sure what's going to happen. I want to know what your impressions were of the debate and what you thought the main themes that were, came out of it. And also, I mean, here's the big thing. So we're watching these debates. We know that we're all enthralled with them, the whole, you know, the debating season. And after the Republican debates, I think that really hooked a lot of us. But will it matter in the end? Is this going to change people's votes? I mean, is this going to change anything? You know, one thing that Biden said, probably his biggest kick in the gut to the Romney platform, was that he said Romney wanted to let the auto companies fail. And, you know, there's this thing floating around that Romney wanted to let the auto companies go out of business. And it was from an op-ed piece in the New York Times way back in November of 2008. And the title of it was Let Detroit Go Bankrupt, and it talked about it, about Romney's position, arguing that filing for bankruptcy to restructure the auto companies would be a better strategy for the long-term health of the industry than federal assistance, because Romney said, you know, Detroit doesn't need a turnaround. But he didn't argue for any government role in saving the auto companies either. It was more about reorganization where private investors took the lead instead. Because remember, the government investment became the critical point of this. General Motors, or Government Motors, Chrysler, went into bankruptcy and got $80 billion in federal money under the Obama people. The companies have paid back not all of that, about $40 billion or so. Chrysler paid back most of its loan by May of 2011, but the government still has a 26% stake in GM, a 26%. And if you go back to September, the auto industry has sold 14.9 million cars or SUVs or whatever. The good news there, highest since March of 2008. 855-266-CATE, 855-266-5283. How do people score this debate? We're going to let you see what some of the journalists that were out there covering it had to say. Hang with us.
Preparedness is simple when you have the right stuff. And with the looming threat of economic collapse and possible service interruption, it's time to get the best-in-class preparedness stuff at DisasterStuff.com. DisasterStuff.com has been serving smart preppers for over 15 years with quality products like Berkey water filters. DisasterStuff.com is the official Berkey in-stock shipping center. And as always, free shipping on all Berkey products. Stock up on water barrels and accessories. Get Country Living or Wonder Mill grain mills, Excalibur food dehydrators, Tatler reusable canning lids, Sun Oven solar cookers, EMP bags to protect sensitive electronics, and don't be without your Life Straw personal water filter, all from DisasterStuff.com. Preparedness is simple with the right stuff from DisasterStuff.com. freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Here it comes, another cold and flu season. Get ready for it and save now during the pre-winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't be without powerful natural flu fighters like elderberry power capsules. They support the immune system and they have antiviral properties. Another powerful antiviral is olive leaf capsules, highly recommended by Herbal Healer Academy. Also on sale is Physician Strength Oregacillin, a savior for the lungs. It fights bacteria, virus, and fungus. Our famous four herb capsules are a gentle liver cleanser and can be taken daily. Also featured this winter are the homeopathic detoxes, liver, kidney, lung, lymph, whole body, and brain detox on sale. And remember, as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and hit the pre-winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
With Ed Klein, his book, Flying Up the Chain, of the New York Times bestseller list. Hey, speaking of the bestseller list, check this out, and actually the New York Times. The New York Times headline read, Biden-Ryan Quarrel, Sharp Contrast. So that would be their top headline. And then it goes down to break it down to what the stakes were about, that they were wrangling for the upper hand. And I thought this was well put, that Congressman Paul Ryan and VP Joe Biden engaged in a fluent and combative exchange on topics like unemployment and Iran. That sounds very much like the New York Times, doesn't it? Washington Post, sharp words as Ryan and Biden face off. And then it goes on to talk about Washington veterans pull no punches in only vice presidential debate, which is what we expected. Because if you looked at it, everything was fair game. Everything was on the table. There's only one of these debates. And if you looked at winners and losers, is some people believe that Biden gives the Democrats hope and made Ryan, as the Washington Post says, Ryan look like a bystander. Was it the interrupting? Was it some of the points that he made? You know, who won the debate? If you look at the Twitter feeds that were going on throughout the entire length of the debate, where you could pick out certain things that were talked about and then certain funny moments or whatever, from the malarkey comments to a few others about that Joe Biden is known to put his foot in his mouth and to say a few things. But unlike what happened in the first presidential debate, the debate with the VPs was a little bit different. According to Twitter, if you add it up, and it's pretty tough to wrap yourself around this, but if you add it up what mostly was being said, took a little snapshot of it, you would have Biden getting a chunk of the attaboys and that kind of stuff. And if you look at some of the stuff that was actually put out there on the Twitter feeds, Rand Paul in the spin room said, "I didn't think there was a clear knockout victory for either side." And that would be my take on it. I didn't think there was any kind of a knockout for sure. Then, unlike last week, reps think Ryan won, Dems think Biden won. All is well in the political universe. So who won the debate? Well, it depends on your point of view. Which direction do you lean in? Right? Or do you lean to the left? Or are you undecided? Or are you sick of all the politics? Or are you looking for that third party? So you're just kind of standing straight up. On the chat, Golden Rule Humanist says that clearly the winner was Biden, saying that Biden was the winner. Also, I got this from the email. Jake says, without a doubt, Ryan messed with Biden's universe. So, once again, it depends on your point of view. We can't get away from it. Everything comes back to sides and everything comes back to politics, doesn't it? Clearly, there were some things that shook out of this, and a lot of it had to do with stimulus. Medicare was another big part of what was discussed or what was asked during the debate. And in trying to figure out if you had a scorecard like you do in boxing and you were scoring the rounds, I would say that clearly to me, Ryan won on the conversation about Libya. And I would say that Biden definitely was able to get to Ryan on the tax situation, you know, so score one in each category there. And then some of them would be just completely a draw. And clearly also at the end, Ryan and Biden, who are both Catholics, completely have a different point of view on abortion and women's right to choose and the timelines of abortions. But even that, I mean, there's just absolutely no way Ryan is a no-go in that direction and flat out said it. He just flat out said it and said that's the Romney administration, which is very much why Ryan was picked to be on this card, if you think of the Tea Party movement and the ultra-conservative line that pretty much Mitt Romney needed if you went back and looked at his politics when he was in Massachusetts, especially on the social issues. So he's definitely turned things in a different direction, you know, flipped a few things over since the days of being the governor of Massachusetts. Mm. So everything from Libya to taxes, that was all mixed in as part of the conversation and debate. There was absolutely a lot of spin on the Medicare plan. We knew that this would be part of what we would hear. You know, clearly we know the issues now at this point, right? So maybe you heard something you didn't hear before. Ryan defended his plan to reshape Medicare so that people that would get it in the future would receive fixed amounts of money to buy private insurance or buy into the government program. That's part of Mitt Romney's proposal. And he described the plan as bipartisan and called it a plan he put together with a prominent Democrat senator from Oregon. But he didn't say that he later lost the Democrats' support, so they were able to try to nail him back again on that one to give it back to him. And when breaking down the numbers for what would happen with under private insurance, with this plan, then the insurers would try to sign up the healthier seniors that would leave the sickest of the lot that would have to get the most expensive to cover programs, so they would end up enrolling in the government program, but then that could raise the cost of what the government would have to pay, yada yada. So you get it here. And this is an area where Biden attacked and said that in Ryan's original Medicare plan, it would have cost beneficiaries in the future $6,400 and higher costs, and question what his current plan would cost. So he was able to take him out on that one, or try to take him out on that one anyway. The next couple days will be interesting because there will be lots of conversations about this debate. There'll be conversations about coming up the next presidential debate. And does this kind of set the groundwork for Obama, or does it set the groundwork for Romney? And I really think the VP's job was to do that. Okay, so you're the VP, you're a heartbeat away from this gig. I want to get elected again, or I want to get elected, so just don't blow it for us. Don't say anything too extreme that people can't soak in. And I think the Ryan thing at the end might have surprised some people who didn't know what his point of view was on abortion. And the face of the court could change, and that's why that question becomes important, because the balance of the court could switch with a replacement player. And once that happens, meaning another justice, once that happens and it's appointed, that justice is appointed by the president, has to be vetted out, well, then that changes the makeup of the court in any of the voting process that's gone down. If you strictly look at ideology, then you know what could happen to Roe v. Wade. There's a good chance, who says, I mean, that could certainly be tossed. Will it be tossed? Not anywhere or anytime soon, but it would be on the list probably for the Republicans. I don't think it would stand, or there would be some kind of a challenge anyway. So did Biden do his job? Did he help Barack Obama when he faltered in the last presidential debate? Who won this debate? Who won the debate? 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Alley C. Why Alley C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Alley C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Alley C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Alley C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Alley C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Alley C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Alley C. For more information and to order Alley C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Alley C today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you'd rather rebuild roads, schools, bridges, and hospitals here at home instead of building them for others halfway around the world, you're a libertarian. If you think Washington should stay out of the bedrooms and the corporate boardrooms of America, you're a libertarian. If you'd rather die than give another vote to the bloated, constitution-trampling, overtaxing, and overspending members of both failed political parties, if you think your body, your love life, and your private business are no business of the federal government, if you think the Founding Fathers knew more about freedom than the people forcing the Patriot Act and the NDAA on us, hate to break it to you, you're not Democrat or Republican, you are libertarian. This year, you don't have to be a libertarian to vote libertarian. We're not a party. We're the people.
My name is Gary Johnson, and I approve this message. Be libertarian with me for one election. Live free.
Paid for by GaryJohnson2012.com.
You know what happens to your digestive health around the holidays? Right. Unusual schedules and foods you don't normally eat can cause upset stomach and indigestion. But you can prepare your digestive tract with Pro-EM-1 Probiotic Cleanse from Terraganics.com. Pro-EM-1 is all natural and made with certified organic ingredients. It contains no genetically modified ingredients or preservatives and has no animal products, wheat, soy, dairy, or gluten. Pro-EM-1 does not require refrigeration, so you can take it with you over the river and through the woods to Grandma's house. Pro-EM-1 supports a healthy, regular digestive system, supports weight loss, and improves absorption of food nutrients. Improve your digestion and keep off those extra pounds with Pro-EM-1 Probiotic Cleanse. Call or click Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. Toll free, 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
To see you when I wake up is a gift I didn't think could be real.
You're never going to find a more decent human being, a great husband, a great father, and one of the smartest guys that we work with. He knows more about pro-growth economic policies that we believe in than anybody in the Congress. Poor Joe, he's going to have his hands full.
Wow, how about it? So, was it a rough night for Joe Biden? Kate Delaney, America Tonight, we're talking about the VP debate. And does it even really matter for that much as they traded jabs in Danville, Kentucky? 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. CBS News did a snap poll of uncommitted voters. It showed that Biden won, killed Ryan 50-31. CNN did a flash poll of the debate watchers. You know what that showed? Ryan 48, Biden 44. Mark Halperin from Time Magazine graded the duel in Danville. He says Paul Ryan gets a B and Joe Biden gets a B minus. Yeah. I went to Ohio University. We had those minus and plus grades. So a B minus. Okay, what was interesting about Ryan, and I think his best moment is when he talked about the fact that he was smashing Biden on unemployment. He was talking about unemployment numbers and some specific things that happened during the Obama years. So he had some good nuggets in there, and it was tough to deny. It was tough to deny the numbers because they are what they are, and there wasn't much that Biden could say, although he tried to talk about talk about jobs that were saved and things that were happening and what was going to happen, but they can't really dance around that. That's a tough one, and that probably was the one of the best hits anyway, the best punch that Ryan landed. Probably the best thing that he did. He was very firm in his answers. He seemed very unflinching. He smashed the Obama administration, but he wasn't nasty about it, I guess, in a way. He was just going through facts, things that he knew to be true, that he thought to be true, that he thought was basically pretty much the things that had gone wrong in the Obama administration and what they had promised. He went back to the campaign of Barack Obama, you know, the hope and the change, and really focused on that, focused on things that Obama had said and was selling and did not deliver on. So that was probably smart. I think that's what helped Ryan. I mean, he definitely solidified his spot. I can say this without a doubt. Ryan, from the conservative side of the chapel, he solidified himself as somebody who you have to take seriously, because he knows how to come back. He knows how to sound intelligent. He knows how to not be too wonky with his answers, and then that's how he was. So I can see why Halpern, who's covered politics for a long time, I can see why he would grade him and with a B, give him a B. I think that he did a good job. But Biden had the bigger, I think he had more pressure because of the way the Democrats have folded since the first presidential debate, meaning in the polls. Now Romney picked up a lot of steam, got a lot of bounce after the first debate that hurt Obama, and then Obama's out there saying that, he just had a bad night, and he seemed like he didn't want to be there when he was debating the first time around. Now the second one will be interesting to see, because people will be tuned into this. So with the sparks flying all over the place and policy up for grabs and talking about defending what happened, talking about what Romney won't make happen, which was what Biden was doing, saying that this is what will happen to the middle class, all that stuff, there's no doubt they were absolutely sparring. Absolutely they were sparring. And it really depends on the way that you would score this on the specific issues. That's what it comes down to in trying to figure out who won this thing. I think you all have your eyes closed, and you might not even care about the debates. But I think there is a little important underlying factor to it, because there's a thing called momentum, and somebody's going to get some momentum off of this. Does it help the Democrats turn the ship around a little bit, or does it help the Republican message or Romney's message as he continues to move forward? I mean, the one thing that's tough to do is beat an incumbent. However, with an incumbent, they have a record that you can attack or try to detract from, and that's pretty much now with, 26 days before the election, that's going to be some of the focus. Just try to soft pedal it, but yet be able to attack it at the same time. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. As I said, coming up, we're going to talk to Ed Klein about Obama. He did massive research for his book on Barack Obama, and his next book will be about this election. And Ed Klein has an interesting point of view and agrees pretty much with me on the Libya situation. Was ridiculous when they had asked several times in March and July for more security, and on the Hill this was sort of the big debate, because there was a hearing, and during this VP debate, this was a little chunk of what was discussed, the Libya, how it was handled in Benghazi and the consulate. So this isn't going to go away. This is also going to come up next week, I think, in the presidential debate, without a doubt, since it's about focused on for our foreign policy, on the wars, and also on, I'm sure, the recent situation in Libya. In fact, you know, now with the ambassador Stevens, who was murdered in September, they had to come up with somebody new to go to Libya. What a hellish assignment that would be, wouldn't it? Of all the places where you could be assigned. But Stevens wanted that because he was so schooled in the Middle East. And the Libyan people liked him, certainly not Al-Qaeda, because that's what that was about and killing him. But the people themselves liked Stevens. So the new top diplomat for Libya is in the country to assume control of that embassy after that attack on our consulate. You've got, because you figure the ambassador and three other Americans were killed. The person who now is in place is Lawrence Pope, who is an Arabic-speaking guy who's been in foreign service for 31 years. So he's the guy who's nominated to succeed Chris Stevens, who died in the September 11th attacks. And, with the situation in Libya just seemingly to getting worse and worse and worse, the timing, I think, is perfect on this one, because somebody needs to be in there. The country, the country is falling apart at the seams, especially after they fired their prime minister, and the country is, really coming apart at the seams in some of the areas that are questionable, where you've got a lot of attacks, IED attacks, and soldiers that will cruise the area, and ultimately Afghanistan having to pick up for itself in the not-too-distant future. In the not-too-distant future, they'll be out there doing what they were taught to do. And that was part of the sparks that flew in the debate over Libya, over what happened, over what the White House knew, because that was part of the conversation, part of the questioning. A 90-minute session that was just really a policy kind of bout, where the Prez was, if you remember, the Prez in his first one was just smashed. Now you have Kentucky. Both VP contenders were aggressively going after each other, had a ton of talking points, knew what they were going to talk about. Ryan said Obama is weak in his foreign policy, especially in the terror attacks on the consulate and the way that he responded to it. And the administration, which is doing a terrible job doing something about the recovery. And that was one of the big moments for Ryan, when he said this is not what a real recovery looks like. The funniest moment to me was when Paul Ryan made a reference to Joe Biden's, let's say, tendency to make gaffes. And he said, as the vice president well knows, sometimes the words don't come out of your mouth right away. And Biden said, but I always say what I mean. So whether the debate's going to alter the course of whatever happens here, we'll see. If we read the tea leaves, I'm thinking maybe not. Just a little momentum heading into the next presidential debate. And without a doubt, everything was on the table here. All the knives were on the table. The economy, the budget deficit, foreign policy, absolutely. Lots of references to the middle class. Everybody wants to own the middle class. We're like the chia pet. So we like the chia pet. We just, sometimes we ignore it. Sometimes we ignore our cute little chia pet. The Republicans want to own the middle class, and the Democrats want to own the middle class. Ed Klein in the wings here in America Tonight.
Have you ever
heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what Pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
If you like cow's milk, you'll love camel milk.
Yes, the newest, oldest thing in the world, camel milk, has sustained civilizations for thousands of years. Here's just one user's testimonial.
My Lyme-stricken boy developed severe allergies to nearly every food he ingested. At first, I was scared to death to try camel milk, but he had no allergic reactions of any kind, nothing. The camel milk was wondrous in healing his GI issues, and it's the one thing I can attribute to his getting out of bed after almost a year spent there, too ill to do anything.
Camel milk is loaded with health benefits far superior to other milk, is rich in B vitamins, and 3 times higher in vitamin C than cow's milk, 10 times higher in iron. Camel milk comes fresh or frozen from your trusted local family farm, Humpback Dairies of Miller, Missouri. To order, call this number, 1-417-848-7570. That's 1-417-848-7570. Call 1-417-848-7570 for camel milk, the best kept health secret ever.
Do you owe the IRS money that you can't pay? Are tax liens and levies ruining your life? Are you tired of being afraid just to go to the mailbox? If this describes you, then Dan Pilla can help.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax problems for more than 30 years. In fact, I wrote the book that made it possible to negotiate settlements with the IRS, and I've helped thousands of people do exactly that. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. New changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever before eliminate their debts once and for all. There's no need for you to suffer another day with IRS debt. Call 800-346-6829. I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Welcome back to America Tonight. With me, Kate Delaney, Coast to Coast, and all those nooks and crannies in between. We've been talking about the debate a lot. Last week's debate between Barack Obama, of course, the Prez, and Mitt Romney. And now we've got Paul Ryan and Joe Biden going at it from the VP spot. And then next week, we're back to that second presidential debate. Ed Klein joins us now, and he's a best-selling author, New York Times, loving that book, The Amateur, number 2 on the New York Times list after 17 weeks or so. Just terrific stuff. Ed, thanks for popping on with us.
Oh, it's been my great pleasure, as always, Kate.
So Barack Obama, now we're seeing in the poll. Well, first of all, last week's debate, how would you characterize his performance?
Well, I, like everyone else, I thought it was lackluster, but it didn't really surprise me terribly, because the debate format is not Barack Obama's strong point for several reasons. One, he does not like to be challenged in public. He's very thin-skinned. He believes that his positions are the right positions, and anybody contradicts him doesn't have a right to do so. And secondly, he's not very good off the cuff. He's much better when he has a teleprompter.
Yeah.
And thirdly, he needs audience reaction and adulation and cheers and whoops and hollering to feed his ego when he's in public. And he's excellent when he's in front of a large, you know, audience of 10 or 20,000 cheering people with a teleprompter, but not in a debate. And I think that's why he didn't do well. And we'll they'll probably not do well next time around.
Yeah. The you know, next time around, the focus, of course, is foreign affairs, if you will. And one of the things I would imagine is going to come up is what happened with Libya and the consulate. I mean, what a bloody mess that is. Is that just another one of those, well, let's cover it up, we're not really transparent, it's confusing, and we'll just keep everybody sort of guessing the chaos?
Well, I agree with you that it is a mess. I would say it is the most serious security and intelligence lapse since 9/11, that we lost four Americans because of our lack of security and proper intelligence. And what made it worse, if that's possible, is the cover-up that followed. Now, the administration, the Obama administration, is denying it covered up, but all you need to do is look at the tape and see that for a week or more, they were denying that it was a terrorist attack carried out by an al-Qaeda affiliate, which in fact it was, and they indeed knew that early on, did not want to admit it because it was a terrible embarrassment to this president that on his watch, on the anniversary of 9/11, we were hit again. Something that never happened, by the way, under George W. Bush.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, the other thing that is, again, so convoluted and mixed messages, I talked to one of his aides the other day, and they were clobbering me about what I had to say about his relationship with Benjamin Netanyahu. But I think it's pretty clear that Netanyahu, for the way he's been messed with when he's been in Washington and elsewhere, I think Netanyahu doesn't have any respect for Barack Obama. Is that your impression?
Yes, in my book, The Amateur, I spent a good deal of time examining the relationship between Barack Obama and Bibi Netanyahu, and I agree with you entirely that, as I laid out in the book, the Prime Minister of Israel has been very shabbily treated by this president in more ways than one, and they do not like each other or trust each other, and Netanyahu, however, is in a position where he believes that the very existence of his country is at stake if Iran gets a nuclear weapon. And yet, at the same time, it is not clear that Israel has the technological ability, the bomb capacity to bust open those nuclear facilities that are buried hundreds of feet under the ground in rock without the help of the United States. So there seems to be, to me, no secret of that Netanyahu is rooting for Romney to win the election, a person he's known for many, many years, trusts, and who he believes will back him up when the time comes.
Yeah. What do you make of the polls? Everybody here in America tonight and talk radio, you know this, that everybody wants to analyze and look at the tea leaves and try to figure out what's going to happen. And we have less than a month to go. And there's already, of course, votes that are going, voting that's going on right now. What do you make of the effect of the debates overall? Do you think with 67 million people watching the last one and then two more to come, will that sway some people who are undecided?
I think it already has. I think that Romney did himself a great favor by performing as well as he did in the first debate, showing that, in fact, he was not the person that he'd been painted by the Obama negative commercials. That $200 million worth of negative ads that they'd thrown at Romney, trying to portray him as an out-of-touch plutocrat. He came across as a warm person, knowledgeable, who cared about the United States and was a decent person. I think that if he is able to hold his own in the next two debates, I think this could be the deciding factor in the election. It really is a question of whether Obama can raise his game, and I'm not so sure he can, because as I've already described why I think he's not very good in a debate format. So I do think the debates can be decisive in this election because it's such a close election.
Yeah. And so for Romney, you know, as he clobbered him really in the first one, and now things have shifted for him. You look at the polls, you can take poll averages, and people try to argue all the time, Ed, that, oh, well, that's a, you know, if you look at Rasmussen, that's right of right. And if you look at this poll, that's slanted in the middle. I'd say you throw that out if all the polls are that close. It really is a good litmus test, isn't it?
You know, I was at dinner the other night with three very well-known campaign managers slash pollsters, people who for decades have been running campaigns and polling. And I got three different interpretations of what the polls mean today. None of them could agree. One of them thought that Romney was going to run away with the election. It was going to be a landslide. Another one thought that Obama was still ahead, and if the election were held today, he'd win. A third pollster at this dinner was on the fence. So you pays your money and takes your choice. But it seems to me that even though these polls may be skewed, as some people to charge, with and weighted too heavily for with Democratic leaning voters, nonetheless, I think it taken all together, these polls show that this is one of the closest elections coming down to the wire that we've seen in ages.
Yeah. The you know, you did so much research on Barack Obama. You know him inside and out, really. Your book is just terrific. But if he were to be reelected again, what do you think that would do for the state of the economy and the job situation and where we'll be 4 years later?
Well, my view about that is as follows. If Barack Obama is reelected as president of the United States, he will not only continue the same policies that he's pursued for the last 4 years, which in my view are not growth policies, but that he will try to govern over the heads of the House and the Senate by doing presidential executive orders and going around the country trying to drum up support for his executive orders. I think we could be headed toward something of a constitutional crisis if he does that, because clearly if he tries to govern without the Congress, without the lawmakers, who are, after all, constitutionally an equal branch of government, I think we could have a very serious problem in this country. I think so. Not only will our economy, in my view, suffer if he's president again, but I think the very state of the nation may be called into question. I'm not suggesting that we are going to fall apart or anything like that, but I do think it could become a very severe constitutional crisis that might have to be settled by the Supreme Court.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. Ed, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. We want to tell everyone, pick up Amateur. I mean, you can get it everywhere. If you're in the airport, you can pick it up. You can pick it up, certainly, Amazon and all the usual places. What's your next book? What's next?
I haven't started it yet because I have to wait to see who wins this election.
You're terrific. Thanks so much, Ed.
No, it's great to be with you, Kate. Thanks so much again.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Don't throw away leftovers. Instead, throw all your leftovers, vegetable peels, eggshells, coffee grounds, pizza crusts, and more into the Bokashi. If you love to garden and compost but don't like the hassle of turning a compost bin or the smell, then check out the EM Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System from Terraganics. Finally, a way to recycle all your food and plant waste safely and effectively and stop using fertilizers. The EM Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System. Rather than decomposition, the Bokashi system uses fermentation to break down waste, so it takes less time to create nutrients
nutrient-dense humus for crops or gardens with no turning and no obnoxious odors. To learn more and order your Bokashi online, visit Terraganics.com and click on the orange button. That's Terraganics.com, spelled Terraganix.com, or call 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Recycle all your food waste in about 6 weeks with the Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System from Terraganics.com. Terraganics, life's getting better.